Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Pitti Engineering's Q2 and H1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Please note that this conference call will be recorded. Joining us today on this call are Mr. Akshay S. Pitti, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, the senior management team of the company presidents, Mr. Varun Agarwal and Mr. Rishab Gupta. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For a list of such considerations, please refer to the earnings presentation. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Akshay Pitti. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome, everyone. We hope you have had a chance to review the presentation of our results, a copy of which is also available on our website. I'll briefly take you through the highlights of the operational and financial performance of the company and then open the floor for a Q&A session. The sales volume for the quarter increased to 10,340 metric tons compared to 8,809 tons for Q2 FY23, up by 17.38% on a YOY basis. Revenue from operations for the quarter stood at 290 crores, lower by 4.56%. The drop in revenue is on account of reduction in material prices, which were passed on to our clients. We have achieved an exceptional milestone by recording the highest-ever EBITDA of 42.56 crores for a quarter, a growth of 16.44% on a YOY basis. During the quarter, the Maharashtra state government released an incentive of 10.9 crores pertaining to FY22-23, which is recognized in the quarter. Considering this, the net profit for the quarter stood at 22.55 crores. Capacity utilization of lamination during the quarter was 72.27%. Machining utilization stood at 91%. As of 30th September 2023, the order book stood at 716 crores. I would now like to open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our first question is from the line of Prathamesh Dahake from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello, Akshay sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please proceed.
Hi. Hi. So wanted to understand a bit on the incentives. So you've mentioned that the 10 crores from FY23 was realized in this quarter, right?
Yes.
So how do we account it for? As revenue of operations or as a part of other income?
It's part of other income.
Okay. Understood, sir. And going forward in FY24, how much incentive are we expecting, and will it be an annual thing or it will be realized on a quarterly basis?
So for the current year itself, there's another 30 crores that is expected to be accounted in Q4. And for FY24, we'll be accounting about 34 crores. And it will be on an annual basis. We get two tranches. So we have accounted for the first tranche right now. The second tranche will be done in Q4.
Okay. Okay. So it will be 34 crore on a consolidated basis, and it will be a part of other income but in part of revenue?
Yes.
Okay. Understood, sir.
Mr. Prathamesh, do you have any other questions?
No, nothing else, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Sanjeev Zarbade from Dreamladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. My question is, your capacity has increased from 50,200 metric ton to 56,000 metric ton this quarter. Whether the capacity is going to increase gradually like this on a QOQ basis, and what would be the volume target for Q3 and Q4?
Volume target for Q3 is more or less in line with Q2. It'll be about 10,500 tons, and for Q3 it's about 11,000 tons. In terms of capacity, I think the next bout of capacity increase will happen in March, wherein we'll go to 72,000 from here.
Okay. And volume target for Q4, or is it too early to, for it?
11,000 tons for Q4, as I mentioned.
Okay. And so regarding the overseas business, how is Europe business doing and what can we expect in the next 3 years?
So European business is not a big part of our overall export market. We predominantly export to the Americas, South and North America both. In Europe, in the last few quarters, we made certain breakthroughs. And for FY24-25, we see a great potential, maybe about 100 crores worth of top line coming from that market.
Okay.
Driven primarily from the wind turbine businesses and the marine business.
Okay. Okay, so that's it from my side for now. If there are more questions, I'll come back.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhavani Kumawat from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So just wanted to know about, sir, what is the current raw material price scenario? Can you just give me the raw material price trend for the last quarter vis-a-vis the previous year last quarter?
So
how much has been corrected?
For the current quarter, the raw material will be priced around 90,000 per metric ton for the cheapest source of RM that we use. The similar grade for the year ago period would be in the vicinity of 1,15,000.
1,15,000. How much price correction do you foresee,
sure,
or are there currently any stable
market,
or for the price correction?
So for now, we see that the prices will be stable. If you see last quarter to this quarter, the prices have hardly moved. And the expectation over the next two quarters is that unless there is some major event globally, the prices should remain stable.
And so most of your raw material prices are being passed on to your customers, right? No one, not yet.
All the contracts are with PVC on a quarterly basis.
Okay. So this quarter is more or less stable. So no need to take any price correction, pass on to the customer, right?
No. And even if that is, it's on an automatic process with the customer. There is no impact to our bottom line.
Understood. Thank you, sir. So one more question from my side. Can you just explain that how big is the BG opportunity for you? How much component or how much metric ton?
I'm sorry, but can't hear you.
Mr. Kumawat, may we request you to use your handset, please?
Yeah. Am I audible now, sir?
Yes, yeah. Please go ahead.
So, sir, just wanted to know how big is the railway opportunity for you in terms of volumes. If you can just give me a segregation somewhere around, like, how much of metric ton you of your material goes into a motor used in railway as well as in the EV, and how big the opportunity is for you. So, that will be helpful, sir.
On the railway side, the business is not just related to lamination, but the majority of the machine component business goes to railways. So if you take in terms of the tonnage of lamination sold, railway should account for about, for the whole year, somewhere around 8,000 metric tons. In terms of machine components output, it accounts for more than 70% of the overall business currently. If you want to put a rupee value to this, currently we are at about 400 to 500 crores annualized revenue from railways and metro market. This has the potential to further increase by about 200 to 250 crores over the next few years.
Understood. One more question from the last side. Can you just give the guidance for CAPEX for this year and the revenue guidance?
The CAPEX for this year would be, in addition to what we've already spent up till 30th September, about 120 crores.
and the revenue guidance, sir?
Revenue for the year, I think you can extrapolate quarter two for the remaining two quarters because we are expecting price to be flattish. We should end up somewhere around 1,100 crores of top line.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you so much for this, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is a follow-up from Mr. Prathamesh Dahake from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hello, Akshay sir. My question was, once we are fully scaled up on the capacity of 72,000 tons, how much utilization can we expect on a blended level? Let's say currently we are at 71%. So how much it would be in FY 2025, and how would that capacity ramp up in the coming years?
See, in terms of additional capacity, we currently don't have any plans beyond 72,000. For FY 2025, we have a sales target of 48,000 tons, which works out to about 66%. And then for FY 2026, we have a target of 56,000 tons, which works out to about 80%. About 80%.
Okay, sir. Makes sense.
And then maybe next year, we will look at any further plans, looking at how the market is progressing.
Okay. Understood. I had a follow-up question on the incentives again, please. So 10 crores is something which we got from last year, and the 30 crores are expected in the coming quarters. So for an FY 2024 consolidated basis, when does that money get credited into our account? The next year of, let's say, March 2024 money comes in July or something like that?
So typically, it takes about 6-8 months for the amount to credit once it's sanctioned.
Okay. Okay. Understood. So in FY 2024, we are expecting again 20 crores extra, right? 30 crores on a consolidated basis.
Yes.
Okay. Understood, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question was on the order book itself. We don't seem to be having much of an uptick in order book, even if I adjust for raw material prices. In fact, QoQ, you have a decline in the order book, whereas you said the RM prices are flattish. So can you talk about the demand environment?
So if you take the short-term order book, it is pretty much flattish. And for the current quarter, we are not expecting any increase in sales. It's going to be something like Q2. And for Q4, it'll be a marginal increase of 500 tons. So the short-term order book is in line with our targets on sales. The change what you're seeing is on the longer-term order book as we keep depleting the 10-year contracts on the India loco business.
Right. Right. But can you just broadly comment on how you're seeing the demand environment overall?
So see, demand right now is, I would say, stable. I wouldn't say it's very, very strong. The outlook with the elections upcoming remains cautious. So there are discussions of increased requirements, but nobody is committing to the order books till they see the outcome of election. However, on the North American and European side, the order book remains strong. We are seeing growth on our export business, both in USA and European markets.
These are direct exports you're talking about?
Yeah, direct exports.
And the margin differential between direct exports and your overall, so you're roughly around 15%, 14.5%, 15%. Is it quite sizable, or is it in the same range?
For the same product, it would be in similar range. It would not be vastly different. It all depends on the level of value add in each product.
Okay. And in terms of your production targets, the 11,000 was for Q3 or Q4?
Q4. So vis-à-vis the annual target of 42,000 tons, we did about 10,000 tons last quarter, about 10,500 for the current. We planned something similar for next quarter and 11,000 in the quarter four.
So these are basically getting a bit pushed out versus what you had guided earlier, in the sense slightly lower, and you're seeing a bit more of back-ended uptake in some sense.
No, I think it was something like 10, 10.5, 10.5, and 11 for 42. So it's more or less in the same line. It's like a couple of hundred tons here and there.
Understood. And in terms of your annual, I mean, you talked about the incentives. You said 34 crores this year, of which 10 you've already received. Is my understanding correct?
So the incentive is 34 crores for a full year. In last year, there was a delay in sanction because of the Maharashtra government's realignment. So in current year, there's a backlog of 15 crores. That will make it 45 crores for the current year.
Okay.
Due to the backlog from last year. For next financial year, it will be 34 crores.
And then it will remain stable at 34 for...
It will remain stable. See, it depends on when we get the sanction letter. We do not like to do this on an accrual basis. So once we have the eligibility, only then we account for it.
Understood. Got it.
Otherwise, the cash flow and the accounting would get disconnected by a wide margin. This way, the accounting and the cash flow remains within 6 to 8 months tracking.
Right. And any updates on the underlying subsidiary that you're trying to consolidate? I mean, what are the timelines? How are things progressing?
So we've got the approval from the stock exchanges and SEBI, and we should be going ahead with the NCLT application. And the expectation is that the merger should be completed by 31st March.
31st March. Understood. I hope you could, you know, by then you would also disclose whatever has been the update in terms of their financial performance this year before it comes for shareholders' approval.
Yes, I think as per the process, it would be done.
Understood. Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gunmeen Kohli from Devin Choksi FinServ PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I had a question on the European business. Can you just throw some light on the competitive intensity over there and how are we looking to, you know, ramp up, like you mentioned, about 200 crores of business you can garner from there. So where are these orders coming from and what is the whole landscape over there?
So the competitive landscape, if I have to break it up into machine components and lamination, lamination has competitors based out of Europe as well as China. Machine components is basically competition from China. If you take the lamination business, the European overheads and the raw material pricing is very, very high when compared to India and China. So they effectively are not competing on any orders. We are seeing a trend where more and more business is moving from the European manufacturers to Asian manufacturers. As far as the Chinese competition goes, I think the supply chain strategy is very clear among these companies. They don't want to depend on one single geography for their supply, and they want a diversification. In terms of pricing, we are as competitive as China. If you talk of the machine components, I think a similar story is playing out there. Even though India is slightly more expensive vis-a-vis China, I think the reliance on the supply chain on China is not preferred anymore with the customers. Therefore, we are seeing a massive de-risking of the supply chain at their end.
Okay, okay. And as far as end use demand, like you mentioned, it's from the marine and the renewable side, where do you see, how do you see that business panning out?
So if you take the end use, we are seeing a lot of requirement coming in from green energy, pumped hydros, compact hydro, wind turbine, green hydrogen. So these are the key markets from where we are getting the business. And in addition to that, we are also seeing new business coming in for marine generators with the regulation on reducing the nitrous oxides and sulfur dioxide in the marine engine. They are kind of revamping those.
Okay, okay. And lastly, on the Indian front, can you just touch upon the opportunity in the automotive space? Like currently, how many customers you have in that business segment, and 2 to 3 years down the line, where do you see yourself as a key supplier to automotive?
So, in the EV space, on the two-wheeler side, we have about 2 customers right now, and then 3-wheelers and buses combined and off-highway vehicles. The total clients are about 7. In terms of volume, I think it's still a slow start as far as the components for the electric motor for the EV is concerned. There are still a lot of imports coming in from China. the unorganized market is doing pretty well on the EV side, I would say. There are, you know, smaller shops which are kind of retrofitting these bikes and autos for electric vehicles, which is kind of picking up a little bit. But eventually, this will become streamlined and the major OEs will start getting into the manufacturing of motors. Over the next 3 to 4 years, we see great potential in this market.
Any number you would like to attach to it, like what would be it as a part of your top line going ahead?
See, from my top line, I would not like to attach a number. I can, you know, probably put it this way, that the market is expected to be only for the electric vehicles close to about 100,000 tons going forward. So the opportunity is huge. How much of that we will be able to garner, time will say. Firstly, it has to come to India for manufacturing. Currently, you know, most of the motors are imported by the OEs.
All right. Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My question was regarding the working capital cycle. So we have seen a sharp increase in the working capital cycle as well as the short-term borrowing. So what is the primary reason for this increase?
If you take the working capital cycle on a year-on-year basis, we are down. We are about 76 working capital days. If you would have seen, the overall debt it has gone up as we are realigning certain financial limits that we have. Net debt is still down vis-a-vis last year. We had about 290 crores of net debt vis-a-vis 330.
Right. And the 130 crores of capex, how are we looking to fund the thing?
So we already have the loan tied up for it.
So this will be primarily through debt?
Yes.
So what sort of peak debt are we looking at then, including the working capital limits?
I think it will be below our target of 350-375 peak debt. Peak net debt.
Okay, understood. Post-merger, what sort of expansion would that lead to in terms of our margins after the merger plays through?
I think the investment and justification is already part of the merger rationale. I believe I'm not allowed to address that directly till it is approved.
Okay, okay. Understood. Thanks. I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Abhilasha D. Satale from Quantum AMC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me a
question. Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, okay. I just wanted to take a view on the margin profile. So you are saying for the next two quarters, the top line will be, flat. So how do we see our margins? And as we increase in our, as we increase our utilization next year, how much room do we see for our margin improvement?
So for the current half year, we did about 42,000 as EBITDA per ton on a blended basis. While the tonnage would remain flattish, we'll see an increased machine components contribution as we go towards quarter four. So by quarter four, we should see a blended EBITDA of about 43,500. For next year, again, the same trend will continue as the machining capacity increases. It will get deployed ahead of the lamination capacity. So we see the EBITDA per ton moving up to about 45,000 for FY25.
Okay, and the change is largely because of the product mix improvement.
Yes, as the machining contribution will increase, that will also increase. In addition to that, by then the proposed merger would have been through, and that will also contribute to the increased EBITDA margin.
Okay, Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanjeev Zarbade from Dream Ladder Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for taking the question again. My question was regarding the turnover of components in this quarter and what would be for overall year and what would be the EBITDA for the full year? If you could give some color on it.
So, if you see the overall machined components, just for the plain vanilla components, we do about 100 crores worth of revenue per year. But there are a lot of other components which go into the assembly of the lamination. Mm-hmm. So, if you take call out those, machining-related revenue, if I were to call it that, would be about 200 odd crores. Over the next 2 to 3 years, we see this more than doubling as we increase our machining capacity.
And any update on acquisition, sir?
Sorry?
Any update on potential acquisition?
So we are exploring various options, and when we have something, we'll come out with an announcement.
And sir, my final question is regarding any view on private capex in India and across the world. Basically, more of a macro question for the general and industry.
So, from what we understand from our clientele, since they are front facing, we are seeing a healthy amount of private capex. It is not near the levels which were expected. It is again obviously overspent by the government, in the sense that government is far ahead of the private capex, but that is to be expected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Because the government capex spending in the first 7-8 months has been very strong. Probably the private capex has been lagging.
Compared to the government, yes. But if you compare on a standalone basis from last year, from what we are given to understand from our clients, there is a strong private capex demand as well.
Okay, got it, sir. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pulkit Singhal from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a follow-up. You've clearly had these MNC customers for the longest time. And as they're looking to realign the supply chain and as there's this increasing making India opportunity, at least on the railway side, do you see opportunities to do any kind of joint ventures to be able to address certain bill of materials on railways which you otherwise cannot do now, so as to expand the firm, leveraging your relationships?
So, as of now, Pulkit, pretty much most of the things that we would like to be doing, we are doing. There are certain components, I would say, on the interiors of the locomotive, which we would like to target at least a year or two from now, for which, if required, we'll look at JVs.
Right. But and you're being constrained primarily from a capital standpoint or a bandwidth, managerial bandwidth standpoint?
No, so right now we want to first execute what we have already taken on board. If you see our targets, they are quite steep. So we don't want to get distracted on a new venture till we have everything sorted out at our end. With the merger, what's happening, the opportunity on the machine components is something which we are very excited about. We want to first capture that opportunity and then move to the next part. See, what is the meaty part we're already doing in terms of margin? You know, the insides of the metro cabins or rail locomotive cabins, those are not as meaty as the parts in the machine components. They are similar, but they are lighter, they are smaller fabrications, light fabrications. We specialize in medium and heavy parts.
Understood.
So first, you would want to consolidate our position and then expand.
Got it. And this 100 crores that you mentioned about next year for the European opportunity, would that be a higher margin business?
That would be a combination of machine components and high-level assembly. So on a standalone basis, even if the product was sold in India, that would be very high margin.
Right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gurmeen Kohli from Devin Choksi Finserv PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Apart from the railways, power and industrial, what else would be, the bigger contributors to our top line going ahead?
You said railways, power and industrial. So that pretty much covers everything. Within the sub-sectors only, you have all our sectors. So if you take power, we have data centers, we have DG sets, we have hydro and thermal projects, wind turbine generators. So that all comes under power. And if you talk of industrial, then everything other than railways comes under industrial.
Okay. And in the
split those three segments into further segments, what we give you in the investor presentation, it's those three broader segments which are split into sub-segments.
Yeah. So I'm more looking from a two-year perspective. Where do we see, our expertise where we can, go and target more industries, end use industries?
So, see, within these sub-segments, if you want to be more specific, renewable energy, mining equipment, and automotive and appliances, these are segments where I see good cause for increasing our market share. If you see our overall revenue mix today, appliances and automotive are hardly in their decimal percentage in terms of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's good opportunity to further increase business there. However, that would be a lower margin kind of business when compared to our existing product mix.
Got it. And just on your client side, as you know, you're the sole supplier for gensets for Cummins in India. What is the kind of, opportunity when you look at the worldwide business of India, the worldwide business for Cummins? Can we go and become the sole supplier for them globally? Or what kind of opportunity would that open up?
So, we are not sole suppliers. We are one of the major suppliers. I would want to classify it that way. And if you want to talk of the global footprint, I think the way going forward would be that the bigger generators will still continue to be manufactured in Europe. There would be certain small generators which will be manufactured in Europe, for which maybe lamination sourcing can be done from India. But right now, we are seeing a trend wherein a lot of business from India is being directly shipped to Europe. So which supply chain will prevail in the future, we cannot predict right now.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Vinay Nadkarni from Hathaway Investments Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just wanted to check on the realization per ton of from Q1 to Q2. While you have actually grown the blended volume by 3.8%, your realization per ton has gone down by 3.5%. And even the blended EBITDA per ton has moved down from 42,607 to 41,159. Can you just throw some light on that? When you
the steel prices have gone down, and as you know, we have a quarterly PVC with the client. So the revenue is a factor of the prevailing selling price to the customer. As far as the blended EBITDA per ton is considered, those minor fluctuations will keep happening on account of product mix.
Okay. And when the steel prices go up, you see the blended EBITDA per ton increasing disproportionately?
Blended EBITDA per ton will not increase or decrease because of the steel prices. That is a factor of the product mix. The sales realization would increase or decrease on account of steel prices.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one on a touchtone telephone. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. Thank you for joining the call. For any more info or for visiting the plant, please be in touch with Rama Naidu from Intellect IR on 9920209623. On behalf of PT Engineering, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.